Hoyer turns, gives Crowell, bangs his way to the goal line. Touchdown! They call a touchdown.
Number five for the Crow.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All he does, score touchdowns. The Crow now 5 touchdowns on 7 red zone carries this season. That's impressive. He came in, the physicality going, punched it in, and the Browns had scored 2 touchdowns early on the ground, Tate and Crow, and they weren't even done yet as Terrence West would find the end zone as well later on as a young member of the Dog Pound, Bryce Segura, strolls in. What's up, buddy? Go Browns. All right, it's time now for the Browns Roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill. And, of course, Blue Point, a great place to celebrate a Browns victory or any special occasion. The best seafood in the city of Cleveland. Don't take my word for it. Silver Spoons has given them the best seafood award every year since they have been open. This is a place to go, place to see and be seen. The website is Blue Point Grill. That's grillwithan.com. Blue Point Grill. Make your reservations. Go. It's a VIP experience for everybody. Everybody's going to have a great time there. You can score some special points with the special someone in your life at Blue Point Grill. They got great steaks, too. Great martinis, cocktails, people watching. It's all there at Blue Point Grill. All right, Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Kevin Jones joining Matt Wilhelm and myself for the roundtable. Jim, I'll just put it out there. How big of a win was this? Maybe the biggest since the team returned in 1999.
I think you nailed it. I think it's definitely the biggest because the time of the year it came and where it came and how demonstrative and powerful a victory it was on every side of the football. And it was, I have to tell you, I think it's a very, very emotional night for everybody that has watched this thing through the years. And when you're out and about today, and I've been out and about, you know, bopping around, and everybody is in such a great mood because – I mean, they're really watching this thing, and they're saying, hey, this is real. This is real right now. I mean, this team has really opened itself up, and it's really good. This is not a fluke. This is a very, very real contending team. So I think it is the biggest win.
And, Kevin, what did this win? We said it was a statement game. Statement was made. In your mind, what statement did the Browns make?
That Mike Pettine is up for Coach of the Year award. That Brian Hoyer is up for Comeback Player of the Year. This team has leaders in place at the key positions for the first time since 1999 that everyone can believe in. The head coach and the quarterback are in place, and it's firm, and the fan base is around it, and the players are around it, and the organization is around it. And they can't be weathered. And we talked about Monday. I was very confident going into this game for the Browns. They play up to their competition. I think the challenge for Cleveland going forward with the Texans, Falcons, and Bills is dominating performances against teams that you're supposed to be better than. So I'm happy. And another point, too, this win was so demoralizing for Cincinnati. They may have knocked Cincinnati out of this race. We'll see. They have 3 road games coming up. So not only was it a big win for the Browns, the demoralizing loss for the Bengals could send them in a tailspin.
It could, and this was a defensive performance, holding Andy Dalton to a quarterback rating of 2, his worst ever, and where they just completely had their way. It was as if they were in the huddle, pressure on Dalton, 3 interceptions. They did what they wanted, and a lot of players after the game credited Dante Whitner. And Dante Whitner's speech Thursday morning where he talked, and he's saying this now, talked about the fact that his father was on heroin and in prison, single parent mother, 7 kids raised here. He gave them the real him and said, this is what this game means to me as a Clevelander. This is what it's going to mean to this city. And obviously that message was heard. So I'll ask all of you, what does Dante Whitner, not only on the field, but off the field, mean to this team, and how important is he to what this team is doing?
Well, I think, I just think there's a legitimacy to him that has always been missing with some of their players. I think they were a leaderless team. Sometimes off, from the sidelines, they were leaderless through the years, but definitely on the field. I mean, they needed some kind of a guy that when he talked, he had a lot of legitimacy behind it because he had been there. And Dante obviously had a great college career, but he had some, really vacant years up in Buffalo where they weren't winning. And then he was part of something that turned around out in San Francisco. So when he speaks, there's a lot of pop to it. The same with Dansby. And I don't think that they've had that in the past. They've had young players who are trying to become that guy, but they just didn't have the resume of facts behind them that could, that the rest of the team could really say, yeah, but, you know, what makes you think that you know everything? But I think these guys do know it because I think they've been around, and I think that, that's everything to them. That's what's been missing. I mean, you know, football-wise, there's no question the quarterback part has been a real problem through the years, and it's just grand seeing a guy that can really know how to do it, and he gets better and better. But as far as being leaders, I just think that they've lacked those kind of guys, and Whitner certainly stands up, and he's one of those guys now.
Right, and just to pick up where you left off, Jim, I think also, too, is because of the state of the union here in Cleveland for the past decade, we've right. always been sold. There's always optimism surrounding this football team and this fan base and what we're going to do. And I think management and new coaches always continue to sell us a dream, but then they're never, right. never able to back up, you know, their words. And I think, as you said, with Dansby and Whitner coming here, and of course his ties from Ohio State, being from, you know, being from Cleveland and wanting to come back here, these guys came out and you guys, and we were all, you know, enamored with the type of leadership they showed through training camp. They talked mm-hmm. about what they wanted to do, and now we're seeing them do it on a football field, which makes us all believers because they backed up their talk, which no one had done here in a very long time.
I'll say this about Dante Whitner being in the locker room as I am every day. These players don't want to disappoint Dante Whitner. I don't think you've had a player around here, like Jim said, in the locker room. They don't want to play poorly because Dante Whitner will just look at them and be disappointed. I don't want to say they're scared of him, but they really want to please Dante Whitner. And normally it's you're trying to please a head coach or your position coach. You don't really have an extension of that in the locker room before. Dante has certainly brought that. Carlos is more of a lead by example, but Dante's vocal, his presence, it really on defense and for the entire team has been humongous this season, Nathan.
And how about Mike Pettine? And just watching the speech he gave post-victory in the locker room, the way the team responds to him, 6-3 now in his first season as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. What a phenomenal story. He seems to just be pressing all the right buttons. And this team, to a man in that locker room, continue to talk about how bought in they are to what Mike Pettine is selling, Jim.
Yeah, well, you know, Nathan, and he seems to really crystallize things to that team in a perfect way. I mean, what was it he told them? Because they all quoted him last night. It wasn't just one guy, but many guys. And Kevin and you are in the locker room with us. And, I mean, how many guys said to you, he just told us, just do 1/11th. 1/11th of your job. If you do that, then we'll get the other 10 from the other individuals. Just do your job, and then everything else will take care of itself. And it's perfect. I mean, they did their job. Buster Skrine did his job. Each running back did their job. Miles Austin does what he does. And they just went down the line. And I think that Mike has a really brilliant way of, you know, boiling things down into a perfect description. It's easy for them to understand. He simplifies it and he just lays it out to them and they do it. And they've had results. So it's really working.
Mike Pettine is a person. He walked in here day one. He wasn't above the fray or anything. He got on the players' level. He relates to them. He's serious, but he's also a tad bit funny sometimes. So you don't know what you're going to get. He keeps you on your heels as a player. Matt, I know you can attest to this. A coach like that, you buy in quickly. All the players said they were in this thing in training camp together, and they really believe what he was saying would work.
You're right. And even watching the television broadcast last night, you know, with a game in hand, but yet not over, you saw Mike Pettine with a certain player, whether it was West or Gabriel or maybe even Robertson, walking by him after they make a play, and you get that smirk, that smile, just like you would from your father if you did something good for him. He's built that very quickly here, which is why we also confidently can feel he's the long-term fix to a bad Cleveland Browns organization.
And you know what he said this week, too, when the Greg Little thing came up? Oh, I wish, you know, some players wish I didn't talk to him as much. So he takes people to the side. He will reprimand people. But like Matt says, he's shown that he's a real person, you know, bonding with Rex Ryan throughout the years. He took some of that style up in New York, and he's brought it here to Cleveland. And these players would lay in the street for Mike Pettine.
And the thing I think about it, too, it's not just what he's done for the players, what he's done for the coaches. And I know Jim O'Neill has really settled into his role, been given more ownership, and is doing a phenomenal job with this defense that's playing as well as any in the league right now. And there was a clip of video I saw from NFL Films during the Raiders game. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but it was the last possession that the Browns had prior to giving the ball back to the Raiders when they did their little drive at the end of the game. And it was a third down situation, and Mike Pettine looks at Kyle Shanahan on the sideline and goes, I want to run it here. And Kyle Shanahan kind of looked back at Pett, and you could see him smiling, being like, I've definitely called a pass play. I want a pass. And Pettine goes, you know what? I trust you. Call what you want to call. And it was, you could see the interaction, nonverbal on their faces, what that moment meant, I think, to Kyle Shanahan and just the great leadership of Mike Pettine. And he really has done a great job. It does not look like this is a first-year head coach in the way he manages anybody, from the media to the players to the coaches.
No, I agree with you. You know, he wins every press conference, but then he wins on the sideline. So, I mean, you can have guys win press conferences, but that doesn't get you anything on Sunday afternoons or on a Thursday night like last night. But he's definitely winning on the field. He's winning on the sidelines. There was another great line that NFL Films had, I think it was in that Oakland game too, where he turned to Hoyer and said, hey, listen, we are playing lights-out defense, so just do your job. And I think that, you know, and we'll take care of the rest. I mean, he's just got everybody in this whole team aspect. I mean, it really is a team aspect right now. It's, you know, when it really is that next man up thing. I mean, suddenly, you know, Nick McDonald's getting better, you know, week in and week out. I mean, we were devastated that Mac was down and that they had to struggle a little bit. You know, Buster Skrine. I mean, I got to tell you guys, I was really worried about Buster Skrine going into that game last night, going up against Sanu and those big receivers. And they coached him up and had him, you know, brimming with confidence. And Buster won. He won almost every battle last night in that game. And I think they continue to do that. And, you know, the running game last night was just so beautiful to see it back. I mean, it really was. And then there was a point in the game where Brian Hoyer had all kinds of options, and it was because that running game opened itself up again.
It certainly did. All right, final question on the roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill is this, everybody. After a game like this, after a performance like this, getting to 6-3, 24-3 win over the Bengals in Cincinnati, what are your expectations for this team now going forward?
To win the division, for sure. And like we just said, because Mike Pettine is here, he's given everyone the confidence, why not us? Why will we settle for a wild card? Why are we going to settle for 9-7? Let's win this division. Let's go 11-5. Let's have a home playoff game. Let's get a first round bye if we can. Now they are going to take it one game at a time. They're not going to say this.
Out in the media.
You
take it one game at a time too, Mr. Jones.
I mean, I'm not agreeing with the call earlier. He said 13-3, but 11-5 with the defense playing the way they are. If the run game works, when you see this team play together, when they have all three phases, they are very hard to beat. Ask the Bengals and the Steelers that.
Yeah, and Nathan, one other point that I actually had the opportunity to walk into team president Alex Shiner's office today, and I said to him, having played a Thursday night game before and winning is almost like winning a game and a half because, you know, you get to sit back and watch everyone play on Sunday. You get healthy, and there is, I mean, well, we know locally here that we feel there's no more importance than who we can get back healthy in the next 10 days without having to play a football game. So, you know, whether it's coming back from London with a win, you know, winning these Thursday night games, winning for both of us, winning two in a row so close together is such a confidence boost. We have so much momentum and we can get healthy. We can also dive in and thoroughly understand who the Texans are and what they do so that we can go out and replicate our performance last night on Thursday night football and do that again on Sunday.
Jim?
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go movie on you here. This reminds me of the scene in the movie Hoosiers when Jimmy Chitwood walks into the meeting and says, I think it's time for me to start playing basketball again. And Gene Hackman says, you know, all the Pistons are firing right now. And I think that's what's going on here. I mean, Gordon's going to walk back here pretty soon, and he's going to have to play well because – he realizes, you know, that this team and the city and the fans and all of his teammates are excited about him coming back, and he's got to measure up to all the work that they've done in the wake of his absence. Cameron's going to come back. The defense is firing right now. You know, the offensive line has got itself put back together. And you got a quarterback that really knows the game, and he's in total sync with the offensive coordinator and Mike Pettine running it all. It's never looked as good as it does look right now.
And Nathan, one last quick point. Yes. The seven remaining games, combined record, mind you, without taking Sunday into account, 30-29-2 is the schedule or the record of our remaining seven games.
So the Browns are above a mediocre team, which we think they are. They should be taking care of business, and this yep. win is going to give them the confidence boost, like Mike Pettine said, to do so.
Let's do it, folks. That was the roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill, coming off of a huge 24-3 win against Cincinnati. Jim, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy your weekend soaking this one in, watching football that will bring you hopefully no stress and just a nice relaxing weekend.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, that's the roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill again. It is the best seafood restaurant in the city of Cleveland. They've got VIP service, makes you feel like a champ every time you're going there. Go to Blue Point Grill, that's grillwithane.com. They've got 75,000 oysters hand-shucked a year just the way Matt likes them. King crab legs, lobster, steaks, the whole deal. Just go to Blue Point Grill, that's grillwithane.com. Make your reservation today. It's also a great way to tailgate before next Sunday's game with Bloody Marys, oysters, all you need, plus valet parking. It's Blue Point Grill. That is the place to be for tasty seafood in your belly. When we come back, hour number two of CBD with Zagura and Wilhelm, and you, more reaction on a Victory Friday, 216-578-0850. Let's go.
This is ESPN 850, WKNR, Cleveland. Conrad.